Well, good evening. That was quiet. Good evening. Much better. Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It's good that you came out because we were able to be here on the eve of a holiday that truly is about thanking God for all of his many blessings. Amen. And if you're visiting here, we're happy to have you this evening. And be careful out there. The weather and the traffic and everything. So we're just not going to push it. We're going to be here maybe not as late as we usually are, but please be careful out there. I understand that it's really kind of rough out there driving, so I want to say that. But also, we have been in the book of Jeremiah for some time, and we are in chapter 40 and in verse 7. So you can turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah 40, verse 7. We're going through the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday nights, and we have learned so much, and we've grown so much as we've studied the Word of God through the prophet Jeremiah. We are now in the historical section of this book, where we have just seen last week the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. This took place in about 586 BC. So the people have been driven out. The king has been put to death or taken in chains. He's been blinded. His children have been put to death. It's just been an awful scene. The city has been burned with fire. And what God has allowed to happen is Jeremiah and other righteous men to be spared. Jeremiah, for many years, was telling, for about 40, was telling the people of Judah that they needed to surrender to the Babylonians. So obviously this wasn't a popular message with the king. They were defying the Babylonians. After having made an agreement to send them their tribute, they then took the opportunity to rebel. And in rebelling, they were severely chastised and destroyed by the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar, again, 586 BC. So with that, the people were told, just surrender and it will go well with you. They didn't. They rebelled. The king, as I said, was blinded. His children put to death. The people taken into captivity. Only the poorest of the people left behind with Jeremiah, who was actually elevated and taken out of prison and rewarded and blessed because he was actually encouraging the people to be subservient to Nebuchadnezzar. So he has been freed, and they have asked him to work with a man named Gedaliah. This man, Gedaliah, was a good and godly man. He was appointed as the provisional governor of the area of Judah after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians, which means politically there are lots of people who hate him. He's viewed as a collaborator, and yet what he's trying to do is work under the worst of conditions. He's trying to work on the behalf of God's people. So, that's the historical background. We're going to look at a few verses and chapters here just to get the historical background. Before we do, let's open a word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the history that you preserved for us, a history that teaches us that it's always better to surrender to you than it is to defy you and to rebel against you and your word. That it will go well with us if we submit to you, but if we defy you, if we continue to go against you and your word, then surely no good will come of it. So we ask now in our study that you would help us to understand all things. We thank you for the worship, for blessing us with so many talented young people to bless us this evening in worship. But we ask now that you just take the time we give you this evening, and bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's take a look first at verses 7 through 12 in chapter 40 in the book of Jeremiah. When all the army officers and their men who were still in the open country heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, as governor over the land, and had put him in charge of the men, women, and children who were the poorest in the land, and who had not been carried into exile to Babylon, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah. Saraiah, son of Tahumeth, the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, Jazaniah, the son of the Maccathite, and their men. Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, took an oath to reassure them and their men, do not be afraid to serve the Babylonians. He said, settle down in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well with you. I myself will stay at Mizpah to represent you before the Babylonians who come to us, but you are to harvest the wine, summer fruit and oil, and put them in your storage jars and live in the towns you have taken over. Continuing in verse 11, when all the Jews in Moab, Ammon, Edom, and all the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah and had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, as governor over them, they all came back to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, from all the countries where they had been scattered, and they harvested an abundance of wine and summer fruit. Now, one of the things I noticed right away is Gedaliah is a good leader. He's not thinking of himself. He's humbling himself. It must have been difficult for him to humble himself with the enemy. After all, he loves his people, he's a patriot, and yet he realizes the war's over. The city's been destroyed, the people are at the mercy of their enemies, who really just want them to quietly serve, pay their tribute, so that they can move on to other conquests. You see, it was because the people of Judah had agreed to send tribute, going back to 605 BC, there have been several rebellions, but because they rebelled against Babylon, Babylon had no choice but to send their army in to besiege the city and to destroy them. It wasn't what they wanted. It's what demanded, what was demanded of their actions. It's what their actions demanded. They found themselves rebelling foolishly against the counsel of God through the prophet Jeremiah, against the Babylonians. And they suffered for it. Now all is lost. And a man like Gedaliah could have gone on with his life, but he decided that he would be used for a higher purpose. And so he, godly man, good man, has stepped up to watch over the poorest of the people who are still in the land. And as we saw, even those that had escaped to the other countries when they were under siege came back to the land to serve under Gedaliah. So the first thing we see here, as we've looked at chapter 40, verse 7, this man Gedaliah, whose name, by the way, in Hebrew actually means Jehovah is great. Jehovah is, or you might say God is good, right? God is great. He's appointed governor, as we've seen, by Nebuchadnezzar, and he immediately is confronted by a group of patriots who are concerned for the people of Judah. So people have now come to serve alongside him. He established a new government in Mizpah, since Jerusalem's now destroyed, it can no longer be their capital. And he echoes the prophecies of Jeremiah and directs the people to submit to God's judgment. So you have a man who's good, godly, selfless, and is listening to the word of God through Jeremiah, and he's obeying God. And you're going to see that many times in this life, good people like this are taken for granted. Good people like this are oftentimes persecuted because their motive is to be good to people, to do right. And the world is filled with very ambitious, selfish people who hate others and want to bring harm to others, as we'll see. But I realize here that they no doubt persisted in their desire to overthrow the foreign invaders. No one there wanted to be ruled over by the Babylonians. But this wise leader chose rather to submit to God's will, which had been revealed to them, despite the fact that I'm sure he didn't want to submit to the Babylonians. That's what God had instructed them to do. So his first priority is to restore the living conditions within the Judean countryside. Remember, the city's destroyed. But there's an issue, you see. He understood the importance of normalizing relationships, or his relationship with the Babylonians. That was very important because then the Babylonians would protect them from other invaders and other enemies. And his ability to lead enabled him to provide for the immediate needs of the people. Now you can imagine after being under siege, the first thing of great concern was feeding the people. And so these people had just survived an 18-month siege that had devastated their food supply. So the first thing they need to do is make sure they have food for the winter. And so these soldiers that had been fighting this war needed to abandon their efforts and prepare for the approaching winter. And a good leader recognizes this. Food is important, right? So his reputation inspired the survivors around the nation of Judah to follow his lead and begin the work of rebuilding. And that's exactly what needed to happen. Now, one of the things that I've learned as I look at leaders in the Bible, but also in history, good leaders oftentimes have great qualities. Many times, though, they have a tragic flaw. That is, there are some people that, you know, it's their Achilles heel. There's something about them that, you know, they can't see that they have this flaw. In the case of Gedaliah, he thought the best of everyone. And you might say, well, Pastor Tim, that sounds like a really good quality, to think the best of others. Yes and no. Because in this world, there are so many wicked people, and if you think the best of everyone, you're not prepared for what might happen. Not that you have to think the worst of everyone, but you have to be prepared for the worst in everyone. You really do. You have to know that it may come to blows. There may be a situation where you need to defend yourself. There may be a situation where someone comes against you, and you can't just pretend in this life that there's no one out there that wants to harm you. There are people probably protesting right now in our nation, in various parts of our nation, that hate people like us simply because of what we believe and how we live. Now, we don't hate them in return, but we know that many of them hate us. I saw a video a couple months ago. Someone was protesting a conservative agenda. I don't know exactly what it was. I can't even remember now. But they were protesting in New York. And this woman came up and just hit her right in the face. I think that went to court recently. Now, you got to be prepared for that. You know, it's in this world today, in the way we live, it's going to happen. The problem with Gedaliah is he thought the best in everyone and wasn't prepared for the worst. And we'll see that was a problem. For we read in verses 13 through 16 that he refused to acknowledge and properly deal with his enemies. First thing you need to do is acknowledge we have enemies. Then you have to properly deal with them. And again, that was his tragic flaw. Let's read, picking it up in verse 13. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers still in the open country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, "Don't you know that Balas, king of the Ammonites," that's a nation around the people of Judah, one of their enemies, "Balas, king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, to take your life?" But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, did not believe them. Well, then Johanan, son of Kareah, said privately to Gedaliah in Mizpah, "Let me go and kill Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he take your life and cause all the Jews who are gathered around you to be scattered and the remnant of Judah to perish?" But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, son of Kareah, "Don't do such a thing. What you are saying about Ishmael is not true." Now, I think you know where this is going. He had some good people who knew better. He didn't listen, and therefore he didn't do better. Refusing to acknowledge and properly deal with your enemies is a problem. We all need to acknowledge this, especially in the world we're living in right now. I see people, you know, in videos get on the subway, and then they're looking at their phone, and I think to myself, well, that's an invitation for being hit. And there's crazy people that'll just hit you. They don't even care who you are. They'll just do it. And there are people that hate you for what you believe. There are people that, God forbid, come into churches and try to harm others. That's why now we have to have security to deal with those kinds of things. We can't pretend that it couldn't happen. Now, it's never happened. I don't anticipate it happening. But if it were to, we're prepared. Why are we prepared? Because we recognize we have an enemy. Not just the devil, not just the world. But there are some crazy people up there who have been out there that have been ginned up into hating anyone that sounds like you, looks like you, or attends a church like you do. So it's best to be prepared for the worst. You really do need to be hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Gedaliah, though, you know, it's kind of a kumbaya moment. Everyone's getting along, but there's somebody out there gunning for him, and wiser people than him have told him that. And he doesn't listen. So, unwilling to believe that Ishmael was conspiring with their enemies, the Ammonites, against them, he doesn't recognize this truth that the governor was seen as a collaborator. Though he's a good and godly man, he's seen as a collaborator and a traitor by the political hardliners. And therefore, they want to take him out. Now, this is precisely the way that they view Jeremiah, the prophet, as well. So it should be no surprise. The Ammonites had everything to gain by perpetuating the conflict in Judah. They wanted to cause trouble. The more conflict, the better it is for them as an enemy living in the area. So though he was willing, that is, Gedaliah was unwilling, excuse me, to listen to the wise counsel of a loyal chieftain who knew better than he did. Johanan realized Ishmael must be stopped before it was too late. Now you might be thinking, isn't it a bit harsh to go and secretly take this guy out? You might say that. These are different times. But certainly they needed to deal with the threat. But this man was a true patriot, this man who advised Gedaliah, Johanan, a true patriot whose concern for the people was his first concern. He's recognizing if something happens to this good and godly man, we're in trouble. We need this leader, and we need to make sure he's protected. Gedaliah was a godly man of principle, but he had no stomach for political intrigue. I hate to say it, but in today's world, if you get into politics, I have no intention to do so, but if you get into politics and you don't have eyes in the back of your head, you're in trouble because there's always someone gunning for you, as we've seen even recently in our nation. On any side, there's always, you know, it really disturbs me because while I'm a conservative, I'd really like to see our politicians work together, you know? Why can't that happen? Because everyone's filled with ambition. You know, some politicians are trying to do good. Others are just trying to promote themselves. At the end of the day, they seem to think violence is an acceptable form of debate. We've seen with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, right? We've seen with the assassination attempts on our president when he was running for office again. This kind of stuff has been happening even today in Washington. I just read the article before I came up here. Someone deciding to open fire on our National Guardsmen. You see, we know that there are enemies out there. We have to have eyes in the back of our head, really. We have to be so careful. This man just let his guard down. One of the things we're always talking about at the dojo, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up where they need to be. That needs to be our attitude in life. So don't tell me, oh, you know, I know God will protect me. Everything will be fine. Everything will be good because I want it to. You just can't live that way anymore if you ever could. We need to be prepared. So, Gedaliah. Unfortunately, he's murdered. They saw it coming, but he didn't do anything about it. Let's read. Let's just read verses 1 through 3 of the next chapter, chapter 41. In the seventh month, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, who was of royal blood and had been one of the king's officers, came with 10 men to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah. And while they were eating together, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him, got up and struck down Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, killing the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed as governor over the land. Ishmael also killed all the Jews who were with Gedaliah at Mizpah, as well as the Babylonian soldiers who were there. So the Babylonians had left a small number of soldiers there, and they took them out. This is not going to end well. This is just stirring up a whole lot of trouble now, as we know. But this could have been avoided, as I've said already. If he just kept his hands up, if he just kept his guard up, if he had just known what these people were telling him was true. Too many people out there are like lambs to the slaughter for not recognizing there are a lot of threats. So Ishmael, this patriot leader, led a coup against the vassal government in Mizpah. Gedaliah is murdered by bloodthirsty and jealous men who are rivals after just about 2 to 3 months in office. Now, this man, Ishmael, was a member of the royal family that had fled to Ammon before the siege. So he has ambitions. He has high aspirations. He thinks he should be in charge. And that's why he acts the way he does. He murdered the governor and his cabinet while they ate together peacefully. This is like something out of The Godfather, you know, out of a mob movie. They take him out over dinner. And this effectively cut off the Jewish survivors from Babylonian rule. And then this would have triggered an immediate and brutal response from Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. This is going to cause a lot of death and destruction. And it's going to cause a lot of problems, not to mention the death of a good man. So this man then, it gets worse. In verse 4, the day after Gedaliah's assassination, before anyone knew about it, 80 men who had shaved their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves, came from Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria, bringing grain offerings and incense with them to the house of the Lord. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went. And when he met them, he said, "Come to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam." And when they went into the city, Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and the men who were with him slaughtered them and threw them into a cistern. Now, a cistern was not a well, but it's a storage unit for water. So they threw them in there. But 10 of them said to Ishmael, "Don't kill us. We have wheat and barley, oil and honey hidden in the field." So he let them alone and did not kill them with the others. Now, the cistern where they threw all the bodies of the men he had killed along with Gedaliah was the one King Asa had made as part of his defense against Baasha, king of Israel. And Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, filled it with the dead. A little gory. So you can see what kind of person this is. This is a ruthless person. This is a person who wants, above all, to be in charge, to be in control, and is willing to do anything that he needs to get his enemies and his rivals out of the way. He brutally killed 70 pilgrims without cause, robbing them of their offerings for the fall feast. They were bringing offerings. And they obviously, if you can see what they did, they shaved their heads, they cut themselves. That indicates that they were practicing sort of a mixed religion of Judaism and paganism. These were some of the practices that the pagans did at that time. So they obviously had a mixed pagan Baal worship with their devotion to the Lord Jehovah. This man had no regard for human life. His only concern was to escape discreetly. So before word got out of the assassination, he killed all these people, really basically just to cover it up. Only those that could ransom their lives by providing these hidden supplies were spared. Everyone else was put to death. And then we read in verse 10 that he took captives. Let's read there. In chapter 41, verse 10. Ishmael made captives of all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters, along with all the others who were left there, over whom Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, had appointed Gedaliah, son of Hickam. Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, took them captive and set out to cross over to the Ammonites. So what's this man up to? He's taken out Gedaliah. He now wants to just escape to the Ammonites, the enemy that he's conspiring with. And he takes with him captives or hostages. We know what that's all about. We've seen that recently. People take hostages to protect themselves. It's a cowardly, vicious way to behave. That's what he did. Taking captives, by the way, including Jeremiah. And he flees to take refuge with the Ammonites. And then we read, the man that told Gedaliah to protect himself, it's a true patriot, he gets involved. Reading in verses 11 through 15, when Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him heard about all the crimes Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had committed, they took all their men and went to fight Ishmael, son of Nethaniah. They caught up with him near the great pool in Gibeon. And when all the people Ishmael had with him saw Johanan, son of Kareah, and the army officers who were with him, they were glad. All the people Ishmael had taken captive at Mizpah turned and went over to Johanan, son of Kareah. But Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, and 8 of his men escaped from Johanan and fled to the Ammonites. So they got away. They got away. 2 guys must have gotten killed in the melee, but they got away. And, you know, I always get angry when I hear stuff like that, because I'm all about justice. Like, I would love to have seen these guys get it and have a graphic description, but no satisfaction there. These wicked people get away with it. And so many times wicked people do. You know, it really breaks your heart. How many times do we have to see things happening in cities, you know? People being set on fire on buses and on trains. People being put to death. It's a horrible thing that we live in such a violent world. But don't pretend for a minute we don't. We do. And you need to be prepared. So, Johanan frees the captives, but Ishmael and 8 of his men escape to Ammon. By the way, we call it Amman today, Amman, Jordan, but it's that same part of the world. This insurgency, though, caused the people remaining in Judah to flee for their lives to Egypt. Here's the problem. When the Babylonians show up because of what happened, they're not going to care what happened. They're not going to care about Ishmael. They don't want to hear. They're just going to wipe everybody out. At this point, no explaining is going to make a difference. They're going to come in and they're going to say, Babylonian soldiers were put to death. Gedaliah, the provisional governor's put to death. His cabinet's put to death. They're just going to basically say, wipe everybody out. And you could understand why in this brutal ancient world, a very violent world, why that might be the case. So now they have a problem. Things could have been better. They were looking up. Gedaliah was in charge. They had food supplies. And now everything's ruined. Now they're going to have to flee for their lives. And so we read in verses 16 through 18, when Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the army officers who were with him led away all the survivors from Mizpah, whom he had recovered from Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, after he had assassinated Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the soldiers, women, children, and court officials he had brought from Gibeon, they went on, stopping at Gareth-Kimham near Bethlehem, on their way to Egypt to escape the Babylonians. They were afraid of them because Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had killed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon had appointed as governor over the land. Okay, a lot of history tonight. Interesting. I find it fascinating. If you like history, this is really interesting stuff. If you don't, maybe not. But here's the thing. There are some great principles here. We've already talked about one. You got to be prepared. Can't assume the best in others. In fact, oftentimes you have to assume the worst, just to be on guard. Another thing that happened here, all of the blessings that could have come upon the people have been forfeited because of the actions of one man and his goons. They have ruined it for everyone. And isn't that what evil, wicked people do, ultimately, through violence? They ruin it for everyone. I used to love going in the city. I won't go there now, for a lot of reasons. But the thing is, it's interesting. People act in a certain way, and they're vicious, and they're wicked, and they're miserable, and they just ruin it for everyone. So many blessings we're deprived of in our lives because of the actions of others. And that's pretty sad. But this insurgency caused the people remaining in Judah to flee. So here's what happens. We'll talk about this more in the future, but they have to go to Egypt. They have to go to a place where they're not going to be attacked by Babylon. Babylon and Egypt were the two main empires at that time. Egypt had tried to attack Babylon at the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, but they lost. They had come back a few years earlier, just recently in this history, and tried to attack the Babylonians while they were besieging Jerusalem. They failed. But they're strong in their own country. So Babylon is not going to go down and try to attack Egypt in Egypt. So what do the Jews do? Those that are left, the poorest of the people, with some good leaders, they decide the best thing for us to do is to go to Egypt. We'll see next week. That's not what God wanted them to do. But they decided to do that on their own. Now, jump ahead, a little spoiler alert. Here's what happens. Eventually, in about 539 BC, the Babylonians fall to the Medo-Persians. And the Medo-Persians, they decide it would be okay after the captivity of 70 years for the people of Judah who are in captivity and have been for 70 years to return to their own land and establish themselves as a nation once more. And they do that very thing. We read about this in the book of Daniel and other places in Scripture. And it goes well with them, and they're restored. And then we know what by the time we get to the time of Jesus, they're well established in the land again. Of course, they're under the Roman occupation. It goes from the Medo-Persian occupation to the Greeks and then to the Romans. But still, they were in the land when Jesus was born. What happened to the people who fled to Egypt? We're going to see, not much. They went to Egypt, they sort of blended in, and as far as we know, they never really even returned. They were sort of lost. I mean, not Jeremiah. We'll see, Jeremiah was dragged there against his will, but the others just sort of languished. They never really became anything. So what did fleeing to Egypt accomplish? Nothing. In fact, it made things worse. So we're going to see it's really important to follow the words of the Lord. Because they didn't, they suffered. Because Gedaliah didn't listen to wisdom, he died. He was killed. Because the people rebelled against God, they were conquered. See, there's that principle again. You know, when you know what to do, you need to do it. Not doing the right thing does not bring blessing. it actually will bring problems. It will bring violence into your life. It will bring difficulty. So the most important thing I can leave you with this evening is when you know what to do, do it. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we're very grateful, and this is Thanksgiving, and while this may not be a Thanksgiving message, we are thankful that you give us wisdom and understanding and help us to know the truth. Lord, prepare our hearts for your many blessings. Prepare our lives to be in the right place at the right time. Give us the preparation we need in our hearts to be careful and protective and aware of our surroundings. Help us to be the kind of people that don't fall prey to violent people. Protect us, Lord, we pray, but give us wisdom and help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, it's sad to hear that men like Gedaliah, good people, good men and women, oftentimes suffer in a culture and in a world that is so violent and hateful toward others. But Lord God, may we not be that kind of person. May we be the opposite. May we bring blessing. May we bring wisdom. May we bring knowledge and understanding and blessing to others. Lord, again, we're so thankful for your many blessings this year. As we gather with friends and family tomorrow, may we remember your many blessings. And may you continue to bless us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.